All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to American Vindicta. We have on with us our brother Sinner Saved. We are going to be doing another storm warning. And without further ado, brother, floor is yours. Take it away.
Warm greetings, friends, near and far. The Lord Jesus Christ be magnified forever and ever. His loving kindnesses, tender mercies, and compassions are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. His mercy endureth forever. This is Sinner Saved coming at you on American Vindicta YouTube channel, operated by Mr. Doug Thornton, and also on Worldwide Christian Radio, WWCR, at 9.350 megahertz, which is each Saturday at 1800 hours at 6 p.m. Central Time, and also 9.350 kilohertz. And God willing, this broadcast will reach you, Lima Charlie, loud and clear. It is my hope and prayer unto God Most High, the only Holy Father, that his only begotten Son, Christ Jesus, the Lord our righteousness, be greatly exalted, that his everlasting gospel be clearly proclaimed, that the pride of mere flesh and blood men be humbled, and that his elect, redeemed, blood-bought, justified saints be greatly encouraged, cheered, and comforted in these evil and perilous days. Please consider having paper and pencil handy to jot down the scriptural references for your own follow-up study. And so we begin with the weekend gospel message to follow for all hands. Heads up! Please find enclosed encouragement in so great salvation by the perfect and finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ in saving poor, needy, and wretched sinners by his sovereign free grace. That is to say, Almighty God, in his unmerited favor, to save me and you from our sins and from hell. Your reward, Christ Jesus himself for all eternity. Colossians 2:18, let no man beguile you of your reward. Let no man fool or trick you of your reward. There is a present reward of grace enjoyed in the hearts of the faithful, which consists in pardon of sin, peace of conscience, and joy in the Holy Ghost. These are the rewards of Jesus' toils and sufferings for us. Since an artful and subtle serpent hath gained access to the human heart, we can never be warned too much to beware of men. Satan deceived man at the beginning by means of part of himself. He still beguiles men by man. Though the adversary cannot pluck one of Christ's sheep out of his hands, nor rob the loving Savior of one of the precious jewels of his mediatorial crown, still we are to consider him as a restless, implacable foe who will strive by all means to perplex and distress our souls. Has Jehovah Jesus appeared to us in the vision of faith? Hath he spoke to our trembling hearts in his word and by his spirit, as he did to the father of the faithful, i.e. Abraham? Fear not, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward, says the Lord in Genesis 5:1, not only to Abraham, but to all his people. I'll read it again. Fear not, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Like the racers in the Olympic Games, we must expect false judges, corrupted umpires, who will judge against us, determine the prize contrary to our faith and hope in free grace, promises, and sovereign determinations. They will judge against the truth and glory of our prize as though we were not complete in Christ Jesus, as though we were not wise by his wisdom, righteous by his righteousness, holy by his holiness, perfectly redeemed from all sin, curse, and wrath by his complete redemption. But that's something, but that somewhat is to be found and trusted to in nature and self to entitle us to God's grace and secure to us a crown of glory. Blessed admonition, let no man beguile you. Let no man judge against you, ye freeborn, heaven-born souls, concerning the perfect freeness and infinite fullness of your prize, your reward, Jesus. For by this they would weaken your faith, disturb your peace, and oppose your comfort. So they would beguile you to run uncertainly, as though your hopes were suspended on your own faithfulness to grace, your fulfilling terms and conditions whereby to secure the prize. Ever reject such selfish, mercenary, base, compounding notions with detestation, as contrary to covenant love and gospel grace, dishonoring to our precious Savior, and grieving to the Holy Sovereign Spirit, who bears witness that there is a remnant according to the election of grace, that the prize is adjudged to them by grace, not of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more of grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Romans 11, verses 5 and 6. Firm as the earth thy gospel stands, my Lord, my hope, my trust. If I am found in Jesus' hands, my soul can never be lost. His honor is engaged to save the meanest of his sheep. All that his heavenly Father gave, his hands securely keep. That was from old-timer preacher William Mason. The death of Jesus Christ was and is so powerful and effectual that it alone secured and ensures the complete salvation of all for whom he lived, died, and arose. It is the very righteousness of God to enable God to be both a just God and a Savior. Consider the following words written by preacher Augustus Toplady, long time ago, the author of the old hymn, Rock of Ages. From whence this fear and unbelief? Hath not the Father put to grief his spotless Son for me? And will the righteous judge of men condemn me for that debt of sin, which, Lord, was charged on thee? Complete atonement thou hast made, and to the utmost farthing paid, whate'er thy people owed. How then can wrath on me take place, if sheltered in thy righteousness and sprinkled with thy blood? Christ only is my rock and my salvation, the scriptures say. Tell me anything contrary to this truth, he only is my rock and my salvation, and it is a heresy. And bring to me any heresy, and by comparing it with he only is my rock and salvation, you will have found out why it is a heresy. And I don't know who wrote that last one, but that's very important. Christ alone, friends. The ultimate sorrow of life without Christ. The history of a certain young man is recorded in Matthew chapter 19, Mark 10, and Luke 18. This young man had everything we can imagine as to the glories of life here on earth. He was rich, powerful, and moral, but he lacked one thing, the perfection of holiness, righteousness, and love, which would qualify him for eternal life and glory in heaven. Please see Mark 10:21 and Luke 18:22. The state of his heart was one of pride and self-righteousness, because he imagined he could attain these things by his works under the law. Excuse me, friends. Do you or I imagine we are better than this young man? If so, our end will be the same as his. He went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Matthew 19:22. The lesson of this young man's life is that we are all sinners. From the worst of us to the best of us, we have no righteousness, no perfection of love for which to recommend us unto God or qualify us for heaven. Physically speaking, friends, you could see Romans 3:10. It also shows us by nature that we do not desire these things God's way, but insist upon attaining them our way. Romans 3:11 through 12. And also it is written, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So it's got to be the Lord, his way only. What is the answer for us? The answer is profound and yet simple. It is Christ, the Lord, and salvation by God's free and sovereign grace in him alone. True holiness, righteousness, and the perfection of love can only be found in this glorious person who is God in the flesh and in his perfect work of redemption in the shedding of his blood for the sins of his people. God commands us to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. This salvation is not deserved or earned by us. It is a gift of God's grace. This salvation is not the product of our so-called free will or our works. Please see Romans 9:16. If it were, we could say that we were better than this young man. He was unwilling to come to Christ for salvation, and he was working diligently to earn salvation by the works of the law. True salvation is the product of God's sovereign will and Christ's righteous work for his people. Please see Romans 10:4. The lesson of the life of this young man is this: life, whether in youth, middle age, or old age, without Christ will end up in nothing but sorrow. That was from preacher Bill Parker. I was conceived and born in sin, corrupt without, corrupt within, estranged from God, a sinner lost, my heart as cold as winter frost. I wandered round in darkest night and shied away from Christ and light. I never would have turned around, but by the Savior I was found. He shined the light into my heart and made my guilty soul to smart. Convinced of sin and self-condemned, I knew that I must learn of him. He drew me and I followed near, his face to see, his words to hear. Now to my soul he's been revealed, his sovereign grace I know and feel. Praise God who chose a wretch like me. Praise God who lived and died for me. Praise God the Spirit who did call my soul to Christ, my all in all. And that was a section of the old gospel hymn, Doxology. The gospel is not an offer. An offer presupposes a man's ability to accept or reject the offer. To offer life to one who is dead in sins would be absurd and insincere. God does not offer life. God gives life. As it is written, and you hath he quickened, that means made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Did Christ offer life to Lazarus? Of course not. It is written, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. Many years ago, a young man delivered a sermon in a Welsh chapel. After he finished the sermon, he remarked to an old gentleman, what did you think of my sermon? The old man replied, it was a very poor sermon. A poor sermon? My friend, it took me a long time to prepare it. I'm sure that it did, said the old man, but it was still a poor sermon. Was my delivery poor, or were my illustrations poorly applied? Oh, no, said the old man. Your delivery was excellent, and your arguments and illustrations were very good. Then why do you say that I preached a very poor sermon? The old man paused and slowly said, there was no Christ in your sermon. The young man replied, Christ was not the text. We must preach what is in the text. My young friend, in every text, there is a road to Christ. Your business as a minister of the gospel is to find that road which leads to Christ and get on it as quickly as you can. For no sermon will do a sinner good if it does not lead him to Christ. The best sermon is that sermon which is fullest of Christ. I believe that every sermon we preach should contain the three R's: ruined by the fall, redemption by the blood of Christ, and regeneration by the Holy Spirit. If our hearers learn these in their hearts, they will not go far wrong on other matters. But if they have not learned these, it will matter very little what else they learn. They will be like those who are ever learning and never coming to a knowledge of the truth. And while the ages roll, I'll keep on praising him, and my voice will never tire or grow old, and my song shall ever be, praise the Lamb who died, and I'll sing it while ages shall roll. That very good message was from preacher Henry Mahan. There is no grace but sovereign and free grace. There is no election but eternal and unconditional election. No redemption but particular and effective effectual redemption, no salvation, but by the irresistible grace and omnipotent power of God the Holy Spirit, and no security, but by the absolute preservation of God's immutable goodness. And any pretended gospel that does not proclaim these things is, as Paul says, another gospel that is damning to the souls of men. It is written in Isaiah 45:22, where our Lord Jesus Christ commands, "Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." The Master also says in Matthew 11:28-30, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Friends, it is imperative that you flee to Christ Jesus today, not tomorrow, for none of us are promised another day on this planet. Today is the day of salvation. Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ while he may be found, and seek him while he is near. Only by being in Christ, the ark of our salvation, may we be delivered from the fierce wrath of Almighty God, which is coming soon upon the wicked. This about wraps up this evening's broadcast. I trust Almighty God will awaken his sleeping elect and draw multitudes of men, women, and children around the world to his only begotten Son, Christ Jesus, the Lord our righteousness. Yehovah Tsidkenu. Bless the name, Baruch Hashem, Holy One of Israel, HaKadosh Yisrael. Hallelujah. If you are led of the Lord to contribute funds to sponsor future American Vindicta YouTube broadcast, or also shortwave world band radio broadcasts for the storm warning message, then contact Doug for your donation to American Vindicta. And if any of you are felt led of the Lord to donate for my shortwave world band radio broadcasts, then please go to the website wwcr.com, get their physical mailing address to send your donation. I don't even need to see it or touch it. Just send it right to the radio station. Please remember to indicate that it's for the storm warning broadcast. I greatly appreciate those of you that have donated to Doug's broadcast and my own. In doing so, you are propagating Almighty God's everlasting gospel around the world into the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, the soon coming Son of Righteousness, rising with healing in his wings to those that fear him in his holy name. Talk about a glorious future, people. If you'd like to communicate, then please feel free to write. The email address to reach me is thelordbemagnified@gmail.com. And please indicate what country you're from, what life is like where you live. And also, if you're listening via shortwave, let me know the reception on your radio. Once again, you can write me at thelordbemagnified@gmail.com. Great is our Lord Jesus Christ, and greatly to be praised. Take heart, friends. Our mighty and glorious Rock of Ages, King of Saints, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and King of Glory is inbound for his afflicted saints. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Maranatha.
That's another great storm warning, brother.
You know, praise be to God.
There's a phrase that comes up all the time in my mind, it's "come as you are."
Yep.
You know, yep. Christ says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
Exactly. And one old preacher said, "Come as you are to Christ, but don't move a muscle." In other words, it's between you and your Savior. You don't need to walk an aisle. You don't need to shake the preacher's hand. That, you know, you see what I'm saying? It's totally spiritual, and it's totally between an individual and Christ Jesus alone. He only is our mediator. I understand you're going to be pretty busy this afternoon and explained that you might want to keep this broadcast rather short. It's up to you, brother. Go as the Lord leads you.
Yeah, let's just expound upon this a little bit before we got to go.
Okay.
Come as you are. You know, I like probably many others, have had unique experiences dealing with certain religions of Christianity, certain different churches that you would go to visit. And I see now in today's light how we still are so divided. We divide ourselves from politics all the way to sports teams. And, you know, we don't like the way they pray and we don't like the way they sing. But if there was ever a time for unity, it should be now. We should be crying out for unity for God's church, God's people to be coming together more and more than ever. So I hope that we can all together pray about this, pray on this, that God's heart, the Holy Ghost, would be poured out amongst his people in unity in Philadelphia. I see too much wildness in the church. I see too many false teachers, false prophets, false Christians, people who go out and they willfully sin, but it seems like it's not on their heart to repent. And I'm telling you, if you live that way, you're going to hell. So I would like for everyone, as you have listened to this broadcast today, make sure that you're praying for your family, praying for yourself, praying for your children, pray for your friends,
neighbors,
that your neighbors, pray for your enemies. That person who upsets you at work or wherever you are at, say a prayer for them. You're leaping coals upon their heads by doing that and by being nice to these people. The devil wants nothing more than you to attack each other. The devil wants nothing more than us to divide ourselves amongst our little rituals. We should be unified by the blood of Christ. But I'm not seeing it. I hope it happens, but I'm not going to hold my breath because this is it's an individual walk.
Right. Yeah, we definitely need wisdom, understanding, greater love, faith, and hope in Christ. And I understand what you're saying, but I will interject that that scripture, I think it's in Hosea. Can two walk together except they be agreed?
Yep.
And so what Doug and I are pressing is for God's children to come together, but not at the expense of false doctrine or false Christs. We have to remember in Ephesians 4:5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. I heard long ago, I called a certain president the smirking chimp, and he mentioned on live television that people of multiple faiths need to come together. Well, there's only one faith, and that we've mentioned it in the past. Matthew 7, I think it's verse 21 through 24, about many so-called Christians are going to say to the Lord in that day of judgment, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this, that, and the other thing in your name? And that word many means the majority, most. So God's little remnant is very, very small compared to the majority of professors. Help us, Lord, help us.
Well, we definitely got more of that than we do people that are, I believe, hitting their knees every night. You know, Matthew 15:8 says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me."
That's a good point.
"Their teachings are merely human rules."
That's a very good point. And much of the so-called professing church is fleeing to Rome. All roads lead to Rome. Oh, we're talking the Vatican, which is an abominable. It's just terrible. We've talked about in the past. Many of these so-called Christian denominations are members of ungodly organizations. You see more and more so-called Christian denominations reaching out to ungodly things. And maybe, let me see, conform ourselves. I'm looking for a scripture, how that we're not to conform ourselves to this present evil world, but to renew our minds daily in Christ in the scripture. Let me see if I can find it on Esword. Negative. I think it might be in the book of the Epistle of Romans. But yeah, with all this crazy town stuff going on, we're not to join in with this ridiculousness, wickedness. We have to be separate. Come ye out from among them, saith the Lord, and be ye separate.
Mark
the world said. Oh, go ahead and read it.
Mark chapter 10, verse 13 to 16. Says people were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked him. And when Jesus saw this, he was indignant, and he said to them, "Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." He took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and he blessed them. You know, it's strange how you have all these different sects of Christianity that don't accept one another and don't even allow, you know, certain people to be in a church. Though, you know, here we have Christ who's trying to teach a lesson that you should be, for one thing, God does not like the proud and he lifts up the humble, but you should be like a child in your faith. Coming to Christ and put aside all your rituals, put aside your humors and your egos. You know, how nice did I dress up for Sunday church? That's not Christ.
Right. That is right. It's the Lord seeks those to worship him in spirit and in truth. And I don't think it's looking real good for all these professing denominations, Doug. At the same time, I pray the Lord, as often as I'm reminded, asking him to pour out his Holy Spirit like unto the latter day rain. I'm not sure if that's what all that encompasses, but the Lord knows his people. Man, we are going through tribulation, and it's grieving to us when we see this denomination or that denomination doing wickedly. I can't remember where this is located, but at one point the Lord was very angry and he sent destroying angels to Jerusalem. And one of the angels had an inkwell on his side, and I'm paraphrasing, but the Lord said unto the angel with the inkwell, go therefore and mark all the men and women who sigh and cry for the abominations being committed in the land. And the angel did what he was told, and those people that sighed and cried for the abominations, they were spared. They were not killed, but the other avenging angels, that man, they slew all kinds of people because Israel was in great heretical abominations. So for those of us who do sigh and cry, there's a blessing for us. This is the only hell we're ever going to know. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And unto the wicked, this is the only heaven that they're ever going to know. And ain't much of a heaven now on this planet.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Romans 12, verse 2, It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Excellent.
Would you say that the devil is in the church?
Oh, big time. Whistleblowers throughout the ages have talked about this. Go look at some photographs of the Vatican. I mean, it's in your face. Something that really freaked me out was when I used to watch Fox News, which I do not anymore. They oftentimes, when they would go into a commercial break, Doug, they would have a color video of what's called St. John's Cathedral. And I found out, there's photographs of the statues and idols that are demonic, ghoulish looking things. And apparently St. John's Cathedral in New York City was built by Freemasons. So yeah, Satan has infiltrated so-called professing Christianity. God's people are aware. Go ahead, buddy.
We just have to be mindful of James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves then to God, and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know, the more we allow the world into the church, the more we allow Satan into the church. He's not going to be resisted. He's not being resisted. I see so many of this whole reprobate movement. I'm trying to use better words.
It is reprobate.
This whole reprobate movement is infecting the church. It's infected the people, and it's a disease. And it is a intelligent disease by intelligent design, created by intelligence, old and ancient, that are filled with hatred for you and me. And everything that they can do to hurt us or cause us to hurt one another, everything that they can do to make us be a reproach in the eyes of the Lord, they laugh at. They salivate at. They want nothing more than you and I to burn in the lake of fire with them, because they know that's all they got. That's all they have left. Go ahead.
You're bringing up very good points. Excuse me, friends. Remember, the Lord Jesus says, but will the Son of Man find faith when he comes back? You know,
let's talk I've been about seeing, that.
I've been reading lately that various websites, news aggregate sites are reporting that the number of people attending a place where the gospel is hopefully preached is going down astronomically.
I saw the same thing.
That's why the Lord calls his blood-bought people a remnant. And the remnant is like the last tiny section of a bolt of who knows how many yards long. A remnant is not a lot of people. I mean, I think there's so few of the Lord's people that at one point when the Lord takes his people away, I don't think the population's going to even notice. I mean, I have to wonder aloud. I mean, there's only one congregation in the entire state of Michigan. Now, this is going to sound pretty wild, but there's only one congregation that I know that preaches Christ truly and his sovereign free grace and the teachings of God's imputed righteousness to his people. That's a shameful thing to have to say. I've reached out to a couple pastors locally, and these people are I'm very upset to have to report that, but that's what I'm finding out, friend.
Well, you know, with the rise of the artificial intelligence religions, which I have no idea how that even has popularity. It's just man worshiping his own idols, right?
Yep.
The wooden statues of old.
Speaking of AI, something was reported yesterday. Maybe you and some of our friends listening heard this ridiculous statement from some senior general in the Department of Defense saying, hey, you know, basically I'm paraphrasing, hey, don't worry, we're going to program AI with Judeo-Christian values. And I got to thinking about that. I think they were mocking because they don't want Christians in the military. As like Jamie brought up very clearly, I think that whoever that general who said that, I perceive it to be a mockery of the truth. Of course they're going to use wickedness. They're not going to put Judeo-Christian values in AI. What a lie.
Well, I mean, our military has become a mockery to itself. And I was just actually talking to a person who was in the National Guard, and they were telling me about how they couldn't wait to get out. Just everything was so messed up during 2020, 2021, with the whole COVID thing. And so I asked him, I was like, well, are you going to go back into the military? And the guy was like, you know, I don't think it's worth it anymore. And it's so sad to hear that, because our military used to be so awesome. It used to be such a good experience, unless you were in the Marine Corps Infantry, and then we all have mixed results. But, you know, to be a reproach to other nations, to be laughed at by other nations, and still have the striking capability to decimate any standing army in the world, right? You can't take right. that away from us. We can still destroy China in probably 96 hours if we wanted to.
Well, I've also heard we've got really ancient nukes, you know, with the rockets and whatnot. I don't know, man. It came out very recently that the amphibians who get all their in the military, that will get all the special hormone treatments and then the slice and dice surgeries, and then follow-up care, is not only is it going to be enormously expensive per each troop that does this madness. And I saw the document. Revealed that once these people, let's use the word trans, which is we know it's a make, there's no such thing, but that's what they're calling it, that these soldiers, airmen, Marines, et cetera, sailors who go through this process, Doug, number one, they are not deployable. They will not be deployed. And the other thing is they will not have to keep up with physical training, PT, and standards. I mean, how asinine is that?
What, really?
Yes, yes, yes. There's an old Marine who has a very interesting YouTube channel. I think it's called Jameson's Travels.
Oh, Jameson's Travels, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He brought this up a couple days ago, and he had the document. It was an official DOD document. Man, we are... I don't see any way of turning back. There's no human solution to this problem of hideous, abominable sin.
Well, you know what's going to end up happening with this paradigm shift? You're going to have the swinging of the pendulum that's going to go the extreme route. And the extreme route is you are going to have old ancient religions, pagan religions, that are going to be drawn back up, that are going to be the newest thing for the alpha male. Man. Because if Christianity, the different Christian sects are allowing their ministers to say some of the most unholy and blasphemous things, it's not even a church. That is your synagogue of Satan. Let's go ahead and call that what sure. it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're going to have a new group of young men who are going to see once again the weakness in the church, and they are going to gravitate to other things that they view as strength. This is the route that I went through when I was doing when I was a pagan, when I was a Norse pagan. And you know, the whole entire mantra of it is bravado and macho-ness and toughness. And there's many different barbaric ancient pagan religions like that for people to gravitate to. And, you know, Billy, the problem right now that I see, this is me, the way I see it. Okay. Doug's not right about everything. But we don't have very many leaders within the Christian movement who are, I would say, outright a alpha male, you know, a David. We don't have many King Davids. We don't have many Elijahs. We don't have many Nehemiahs. God forbid you bring up a Jeremiah or an Isaiah, which is what I occasionally get referenced to. I like to think of the courage of Moses, of Joshua, and Caleb. And I find courage in these men. I find courage in our apostles. I find courage in our Lord. And I find great strength in all of them. And, you know, the problem is that you have to read the Bible to hear about it. And so who is failing who? The Bible has to be read by the reader. But what is the preacher preaching? Is the preacher waxing poetically behind the pulpit? I'll never forget that one Church of Christ that I went to. They did an entire Sunday morning session over "And Jesus Wept." And then nothing else came from the Bible. And it was all about the way this pastor thought about that one verse, you know, "He wept," or "Jesus wept." And like, I see so many of these things, and I'm like, why is it so hard to just read from the Bible? You know, this is what the Black Road preachers and reverends used to do in the colonial days. They had the Bible, and they would read from the Bible. That's what they would do. There wasn't a letter of sermons wrote. They would read the Bible. But these men were knowledgeable of history. They were knowledgeable of their Bible. And they would read chapter and verse. And then they would sit and they would talk about it, chapter and verse, and stare at everybody in their M1 eyeballs so that we all understand. We just read this, okay? Turn to the next page, next chapter, next verse, and let's continue. And that was your church. That was your church service. But what is it now? It's turned into rock concerts. I've seen some, it was an all-Black church, and apparently the women are up there dancing like it's a strip club. And that's because the spirit was moving amongst them. And my heart breaks when I feel God's sadness at his people. How many times have I drug you out of the wilderness, screaming and kicking, just so that there would be a remnant? Most of them wanted to die in the wilderness. Oh, by the way, while you were being fed, while you had water, while you had shelter, while God was protecting you from your enemies and whatever wilderness that you're walking through right now. But the moment God says, get into my word, come into my presence, seek my face. And we'll do it for a half-hearted moment. And then we'll go back to our sinful nature. And then we ask ourselves, Billy, why are all these bad things happening to me? God, why are you allowing this?
All right.
Go ahead, Billy.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot to be said from the things you're bringing up. We're witnessing a great falling away, and it happened early on. It's just getting exponentially larger and more horrific. And my advice to folks is if you suspect or am certain that a false Christ and a false doctrine or teaching is at a local congregation, don't even go in the place. You're better off praying the Lord at all times in the privacy of your home, while you're driving, when you're working, whatever, and reading the Bible amongst yourself with your family and loved ones. You're better off doing that than to step into some of these goat houses.
Yeah.
It's just pray. I've been praying more than ever since the good Lord took little Kelly Joe to be with him in paradise. And he's doing a work in my heart, my life. And I'm filled with thanksgiving and praise. And that's something we all, the Lord wants to hear from his people. I think it's in Revelation, the prayers of God's people ascend as incense before his throne. And just continually pray the Lord. Lay out all your burdens. You've mentioned this in the past, and he is faithful and just, and he will help us.
That's right. Hosea 5:15 says, in their affliction, they will seek me early. If you want to be saved, you got to seek him. He's there. He's always there. James 4, chapter 8, or excuse me, James chapter 4, verse 8, says that, come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So how easy is that? Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Didn't say come to the Pentecostals. Didn't say right. Come to the Church of Latter-day Saints. Didn't say come to the Mormons. It didn't say come to the Catholics. It didn't say come to the Baptists or the Presbyterian or the Lutheran or the Methodist. It just said come to him.
That's
what I say to you. Come as you are. Come with your burdens. Come with your woes. Just come. Just show up. God's waiting for a man. God's waiting for a man who will fight for him.
Come to Christ immediately, dear friends. He is mighty and able to save us from all sin. What a precious promise. I think it's in 1 John. The blood of the Lord Jesus cleanseth us from all sin. So anybody listening who is super humbled or concerned about what Doug and I have been talking about, and if you know yourself to be a sinner, flee to Christ, the only great Savior, Chief Shepherd. Those that come to him, he will not despise. If you think you've sinned far too grievously, you're wrong. Because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Please That's remember right. that, friends.
That's right. And, Leviticus chapter 25. I think it's verse 45, or no, it's Psalm 32, excuse me. Psalm 32, verse 8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Many a brother have reached out to me, Billy, with their afflictions, the problems that they're going through. Man, we're all going through it. There ain't a soul listening, especially the one talking, who hasn't gone through afflictions or aren't going through afflictions right now.
Of course. They're,
the enemy is working on us 24/7. And that's why the fight is 24/7. It does not stop. And I will say this for anyone listening. Don't mistake my words when I talk about fighting. I mean showing up for the fight that's in your heart, standing up for Christ. There will be a fight one day. you know, most likely at the route that we're going, there will be a physical confrontation that we will all have to take part in. My wife and I were discussing just last night, what would I do if I got recalled, if the draft came?
Oh, my.
I would go. Many of us would go. Now, I'll tell you this much. I don't know if Doug can run a 3-mile PFT anymore. So they may be putting myself in supply or admin. But when called up, are you going to go? You know, that's every man's own decision. Would we fight for this reprobate in the White House? Or would we fight for our families for the damn fight that he got us into?
Man.
Because you can't avoid the fight. If we nuked Russia, you think we could just sit back in our house and say, you know what? I ain't going nowhere. I ain't doing nothing. Let me tell you what's happening in Ukraine. The men who were doing that in Ukraine, the police and the military were coming and rounding people up. They were snatching people off the sidewalk, going to grocery stores. And if they found a man, taking them. The people who were evacuating, if you were between the ages of 18 and 60, they were taking you. Look, I don't have a good opinion about any of that. I think that's detestable. Absolutely detestable, the way that country is ran. But America ain't no better. America ain't no better. We are the chief architect of sins in this world.
Oh, I think you're spot on there.
Yeah, look, I know a lot of people, they throw a lot of blame on Israel and, you know, whatever Jewish tribe they want to blame for the month. America is a chief sinner. If anything, America is a principality. We are a chief sinner. We are doing this to ourselves. We ain't no different than Babylon, and we'll fall just like Babylon.
Man.
And the only thing that you can do is take care of yourself, take care of your family, dig your well first, right? Abraham, dig your well first. But, you know, I gotta ask you, Billy, you know, with the way the world is going, if the draft comes, this is a hard question. I don't know if I have a good answer, and I don't know if my first answer is the right answer. I'll know what happens when the Holy Spirit comes over me, whenever that situation happens. Then I'll make my decision. Because I know for me, and it's not that I want to fall back in line and put my Marine Corps uniform back on, but I know for me, I know historically, they're going to come for you no matter what. So either you'll be fighting the government or fighting for the government. And maybe that'll be the choice. Maybe the next draft will be because of the war here, not the war overseas, which is actually what I lean to. But Billy, when the draft comes, how many people do you think will dodge it this time? How many people do you think would go for it?
I think the percentage of people dodging is going to be way, way high. But something happened of interest to you and those listening. You remember how when Israel and Judah were taken over and people were, most of the people were dragged to what entity was that? Like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Was that Babylon?
Yeah, that was Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar.
Okay. All right. And one of these times when most of the people were taken POW, Jeremiah and a few others were left to continue to grow food and just live in peace. But a group of men wanted to flee to Egypt, get armed up, and fight against more superior forces. And the Lord warned the prophet Jeremiah, do not do that. You stay where you're at. I don't know how much that touches upon what you're bringing up. It's safe to say there is a time when at all times we must obey God rather than men. And the Lord's not going to leave us hanging out in the breeze. He will definitely give us his word. And the Holy Spirit will show us things to come. And it's not an easy answer.
I don't think we can confuse patriotism for rationalism either.
Good point.
If all of a sudden Biden starts goose-stepping and wearing a swastika and he says, "Hey, you know, you're being conscripted." Well, how many times do we need to go back and point at Schultz and Nietzsche and some of the others who said, if we just would have fought back, it would have stopped. If we just would have fought back. But, you know, they already have all these things put in place because I believe they, too, the enemy knows history better than you and I. And they know human behavior better than you and I because the enemy, the thing that is puppeting the meat sack, they know our humors. They know our behavior. They know, for the most part, our willingness to either fight or capitulate. And they know your weakness better than you do, much better than you do, as the Lord knows your weakness better than you do. That's why you should be reinforced in the Lord so that when the enemy comes in like a flood, God can lift up that standard, right? But if there's no men around because you're too busy cowering or you capitulated and you conscripted yourself into, you know, Babylon's army, who is left?
Right.
So it's an interesting dichotomy. How much resistance is holy and how much resistance is offensive to God? You won't know if you don't pray.
Right.
You won't know, and you won't hear him if you have sins piled up between you and heaven. Your prayers aren't going to be heard. That's why you got to clear that headspace. You know, and I don't know, man. Me and Dave Hodges and some few other guys in the industry, we ask ourselves this question all the time, on air, off air. What are we going to do when the draft comes? A lot of people say, not my son, not me, not my son.
And sure.
I don't disagree with that. But there's an element of rationalism that you have to understand. If they say, well, either you do go and fight, or you will lose this house and your family will be homeless or worse. Many men then will say, okay, leave my family alone. I'll come fight for you. And maybe that'll happen. Maybe it will be left alone. There's many times where Israel and Judea had to go and fight for the enemy at points. They were slaved.
That's right.
You bring up a good point, though. Should we suffer in this time because God tells us to and overlook our patriotism? I think that might be wise.
Yeah, these are unprecedented times. We're all being tried like silver in the furnace, you know?
Yeah, I dare any of you go out and have this question with your pastor. Go to your Bible study and have that question. See how they react to it.
Yeah, interesting. Mm-hmm. Hey, Brother Doug, I do need to pop smoke and punch out of here.
Yep, let's close this down. Billy, will you end us in prayer?
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Oh, Lord God, we lay out our burdens unto thee, and we're thankful that you care for your people. Please help us to worship Christ, to love him and love the brethren, and to love our neighbor more and more. And please subdue our iniquities according to your promises, and continue to lead us and guide us and teach us and protect and provide for us, and show us things to come, Lord God, Holy Spirit. Thank you very much, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this has been your latest storm warning. call to prayer, call to Christ. Come as you are. Billy, thanks for coming on today. Thank you for giving us that word. And stay frosty, guys.
God bless you, man.
See you, buddy.
Bye.
All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.